Psalm 45, 6 to 9. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows. All your garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces, stringed instruments have made you glad. King's daughters are among your noble ladies. At your right hand stands the queen in gold with Ophir. And then from Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And also verses 6 to 7. A multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba will come. They will bring gold and frankincense, and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar will be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth will minister to you. They will go up with acceptance on my altar, and I shall glorify my glorious house. Thank
you. There's some wonderfully deep things in God's word. And Faith is encouraging us last week to read the word of God, and she's now offering these John's Gospels. It changes your thinking. It changes your outlook. You begin to see things from God's point of view. And it's not the point of view that is what you'd pick up just from the streets. It's the point of view which you pick up from the heavens. You touch into God as you read his word and you begin to see the truth. Sometimes we say the truth as it is in Jesus. And that's what Christmas is about. But you remember it's the part of the story we've not touched on this morning. The wise men came. They were chief people in their place of probably Babylon, but in the east, the different nations. And they gathered and they worshipped in the stable, probably, or in the house where just a few weeks later, after the birth itself. And those brought... Now, who can tell me if the children disappeared? Can the children tell me what were the gifts that were brought to Jesus by the wise men? Yes? Very good. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Anybody here didn't know that? Gold, frankincense, not Frankenstein, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, you got it? Now, those gifts represent something very, very wonderful. And I want to show you that in four different ways. Just get those gifts. I don't have to teach you that. Everybody knows, don't they? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's all say it together. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very good. Gold, sometimes popularly, people have said, that represents the fact that Jesus was born a king. And kings have got to have a lot of money to pay all their troops and to bring their power to bear in the earth. So gold, yeah, that's king. And some have said, well, it's a matter too of, popularly said anyway, that the frankincense is like the incense of prayer going up to God. Because Jesus was divine, he was God, and worship must take place. So we give him worship, we give him frankincense, we give him prayer and adoration. And then others would go on to say, what about the myrrh? Well, the myrrh is something which is always around when you need healing or when there is pain and you need some sort of peace in your heart, and the scent of it and the touch of it has got a healing power. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, that's true. But I want a more practical approach to what those things were. If they hadn't got some gold, How were they going to be immigrants down into Egypt and travel down all those many miles to escape King Herod, who was destroying the babies? They needed some money, didn't they? And when you're out of work and you haven't got a job yet, and Joseph wanted to put bread on the table for Mary and for Jesus, you need a little bit of money in your pocket. So that was a good gift to bring to the Lord. And frankincense, you know, if you throw some of that on a fire and the incense starts to burn and the smell comes up, you get protection from the wild animals because they've got a long journey. And although we often see Mary coming into Bethlehem riding on a donkey, we never read about that in the Bible. I reckon they had to walk. They were not very rich. They gave the poorest of sacrifices when they went to the temple. So I think that frankincense was a very useful gift. And when you want your house to smell good, then you know what to do these days. You get all the advertisements on the television, don't you? Get a little bit of something or other and you stick it into the electrics and it fills your house with wonderful smells, they say. Some of them I think are pretty ghastly, but it's the frankincense. Got a beautiful smell. Makes life worth breathing in and enjoying. And you need, if you're traveling down to Egypt, and they were going to do that within a few weeks, you need a first aid box. And the myrrh would have been in the first aid box to bring out if there was any need, coughs and sneezes, and or if you'd fallen over and hurt yourself. It brings a bit of peace into the body which has been damaged or hurt. That was another reason why gold, frankincense and myrrh were brought to Jesus when he was born. Another reason is because those rather mysterious prophecies, and there are lots of others as well, it's the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies so that people would have an extra encouragement to believe. This baby, as you look into his face, you're seeing the face of God and you can see him in the eyes of a child. Because prophecy helps us to know that is the truth. And that's the prophecy that we've had, those some of those prophecies. That lovely one that Juliet read about in, from Psalm 45, when it tells us that your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Your scepter, a scepter of righteousness. We need righteousness in our society. And it's Jesus who can bring righteousness. And in that position, in that place, it goes on to say that there was gold in all the people who were standing around, especially the queen. She was in gold. And all the clothes of the king smelt of myrrh. I think there's a good reason for that, because the anointing oil in the temple was made out of oil, olive oil, and frankincense. And myrrh. And you would smell it when you anointed somebody. And also, of course, you've got the prophecy that they would have the myrrh, frankincense, and the gold would be brought, and the nations would come to Jesus. This is a new day beginning when Jesus was born, when what God had been preparing in Israel was meant to be a light to the rest of the nations, and prophecy was being fulfilled in that child. But there's one fourth thing that I want to leave with you this Christmas. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. If you've been brought up in Israel, where God was preparing for revelation of himself coming into the world, if you've been brought up there and you'd gone regularly to the temple or to the tabernacle, and you were able just to look inside, which wasn't always easy, unless you were a special priest or something like that, you would see inside the house of God, it was full of gold. Everywhere was gold. The boards up the side was gold. The curtains had gold cherubims woven into it. It's extremely, dazzlingly beautiful. And when Jesus was born, they bring gold because he was going to build his house. This was the house of God. I will build my house, and the gates of death itself, Hades, the place of the departed, will not prevail against it. The beautiful house of God is full of gold. God's house is us. This is where he dwells. And he looks around, and I wonder if he gets dazzled by the amount of gold that he sees. The preciousness in our lives. The goodness, the kindness, the kind words, the love, the touch of acceptance and welcome. I wonder if he sees very much of truth. Do you think he sees much truth? When every strata of society today, you will find, and they were lying, and they were lying, and they were lying, and they promised this, and they never did it, and they never said it, and then they tried to say they didn't. And so it goes on. But truth, goodness, kindness, humility, that's the gold that we see in Christ. And it was no wonder then that what they had to offer was something to build the house of God. Is there any gold in your heart today? That's lovely, because Jesus then put it there. So you can give it back and build the house of God. You contribute to the people of God. You make a place where people can come. They'll find God in our midst, because there's plenty of gold here. And the frankincense in that old Israeli temple that was built would go on day after day after day, hour after hour. The frankincense never stopped. The house was always full of the smell, the beautiful smell of the incense, the frankincense. As they brought frankincense to him, it was because in that house of God, we've got people who are learning how to pray without ceasing. Have you got very far in the Christian life yet? Are you dabbling in a bit of spirituality here or there? I tell you what, we are here to pray without ceasing, to worship and never stop worshiping, to, at the kitchen sink, be pouring out our lives in worship to our Lord, a people who let the atmosphere of God out into the world. That's called the Holy Spirit. That's the incense that comes through praying and worshiping. And people round about know God's in the house. God's in this house. So they brought incense so that we might learn how to live our lives in touch and in fellowship with the living God. And finally they brought the myrrh. The myrrh was put around Jesus' body when he died. The myrrh was that it's lovely smell, but it's also speaking of death and pain. Even Mary, when first of all the prophecy was given that this baby was going to be the Messiah, it says that a sword will pierce your soul, Mary. You can imagine Mother Mary looking at the cross and seeing Jesus die, see him take his body down, Joseph of Arimathea getting his tomb ready to put Jesus there, and finding spices and myrrh to put on the body. Which is what they did. Reminding us every time we smell it. Our God has entered into our death on the cross in order that we might live with him forever. For God so loved that he gave. And he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish. Things are perishing. Second law of thermodynamics, we're running down. Unless we find that place where Jesus went right into the depths in order that he might pick us up and minister what has come through his myrrh into our hearts and lives. If you're a follower of Jesus, you don't go and murder people. That's not the following of Jesus. Maybe the following of some people. It's not the following of Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. You follow Jesus, you bring peace everywhere, because you bring the myrrh of healing. You bring the myrrh of being able to empathize, to feel with people, to suffer with them, as God suffered with us in Christ. He was afflicted in all our afflictions, says this lovely book. And we find that out of our lives flows healing power for other people. When we deny ourselves, when we give, when we share, when we pour out our lives for other people. That's the history, that's the story, that's the way in which the gold, frankincense, and myrrh are supposed to be found in our lives, that we might be the true house of God. He's building out of gold. He's building out of incense. He's building out of myrrh. What are we presenting to him this morning? Just all together again. What are the three gifts?
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Are you glad you got something if Jesus has been working in your life to give to him? If not, hurry up and get something from him that you might share in this great project. I will build my house, and he will be in our midst. Amen.